Well, the Lord sure has blessed us with good singing today. And my soul has been ministered to in the singing of the songs of the faith. You have your Bible open to Romans chapter 6, and we've been in Romans 6 for a few weeks now. And the Lord willing, I believe in my heart that this will be the last message that I'll bring out of Romans 6, in case the Lord leads me otherwise. I want to just spend some time trying to help make some application of the principles that we've studied so that you and I can live the victorious Christian life. God has saved us to live victoriously. As a matter of fact, someone has said you need to quit fighting the battle that has already been lost and start enjoying the victory that has already been won. So many Christians are fighting a battle that has already been lost. You can't do it. You can't do it. But when we yield to the power of the resurrected, glorified Christ, we can enjoy the victory. My question before I get started this morning is, are you enjoying the victory? Are you enjoying the victory? Or do you find yourself day after day? Now listen, I am in no way, just in case someone were to misunderstand me, I do not believe in sinless perfection. I believe that we are sinners. And even after we are saved, though we get the divine nature of God, we retain the old nature of Adam, the Adamic nature. And now we are a people with two natures. And they are at war with one another. They are at war. They are, as Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, contrary one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. And Paul elaborates on this over in chapter number 7, and we will too when we get there. But I also want you to realize that you can win. Christ has won, and you can win with Him by yielding to Him. You can claim the victory that has already been won. And so my question today is, are you living the victorious Christian life? I hope that you are. You will not have to give that much thought, by the way. You either are or you are not. Amen. And if you are, then keep doing what you're doing. You say, what is that? Well, if you don't know what you're doing to have the victorious Christian life, you say, well, I thought it was already done. It is, but you've got to claim it. You have to claim it. And there's some things that we're going to talk about today that'll help you to claim the victory that Jesus has already won. It's in Jesus' name. Now, listen to me carefully. Number one, you cannot do this. You cannot do this without Him. Amen. You cannot live the victorious Christian life without Christ. Number two, He will not do it without you. So I'm just going to lay back and let Jesus give me the victory. No, He will not do it without you yielding to Him. So I hope you get that. If you don't get anything else today, you cannot do it without Him. He will not. Now listen, God could make you live for Him. God is all powerful. And God could make you, God could make me live for Him. But God's not going to make me live for Him. I have a choice. God has made me an instrument of choice. God has made you an instrument of choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, it didn't say choose you this day if you're going to serve. I want to lay down some principles here. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 6, please listen to me. He said, no man can serve two masters. Now, what is He saying? He said, you're going to serve. You don't have a choice about that. You're going to serve. The choice you have is who are you going to serve? No man can serve two masters. I'm in Matthew 6:24. Don't turn there, but write it down. He said, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will love the one and serve the other. So see, in order to serve God, you've got to hate sin. Somebody soft on sin will not serve God. Listen to me now. You will not serve God. I will not serve God if I am soft on sin. You've got to hate your sin. You've got to realize what sin does. If you're in love with your sin, you will not live the victorious Christian life. You've got to see your sin as God sees your sin. And I have to see my sin as God sees my sin. And so we all serve. The question is, who are you going to serve? And that is what Paul takes up here in the scripture that's been read in your hearing. Who are you going to serve? I'm glad that we have some candidates today being baptized. I'm thankful. I want you to get this picture here, okay? In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul talks about baptism. If you'll go back, if you'll remember the three words, know, reckon, yield. And they deal, when he said know some things, he dealt in the first part of chapter 6, he dealt with baptism. Look at verse number 4. He said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism. You see, baptism deals with identification. There's two ordinances in the local New Testament church. There's baptism. We're going to recognize that ordinance this morning as we have two that are coming to be baptized. By the way, if you're here, and I want you to listen very carefully to me. We are living in a day when people take Bible truth so lightly and then wonder, why do we not have victory? Why do I not possess the joy of the Lord in my life? It's because of your disobedience. The Bible knows nothing about unbaptized believers. When people get saved, they get baptized. Amen. And so when you get saved, you need to get baptized. That's a biblical command. It's not an option. Read Matthew 28. That's a commandment. It's a commandment. When you get saved, you need to get baptized. So you're trying to pressure me. No, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you to follow a clear commandment in the Word of God so that you can follow the first step of obedience. And in order to have victory, there must be obedience. And so while, as I mentioned earlier, salvation is not dependent upon baptism, obedience is. And in order to have victory, you have to have obedience. Baptism is identification. Tonight, we're going to celebrate the second ordinance. There's only two in the local New Testament church. The second ordinance is the Lord's table or the Lord's supper. That deals with substitution. Do you understand? That's why we celebrate these two ordinances. Jesus says, for as oft as you do this what? In remembrance of me. What? What? That I died for you. That I was your substitute. You should have died. And yet I shed my blood for you. That's why we take the Lord's table, brethren. Because we're commemorating that Jesus is our substitute. We get baptized because we're identifying. So, Lord's table, substitution. Baptism, identification. I pray to God that you'll get that settled once and for all. And they're both necessary. We're talking about identification. We're talking about knowing some things. Know that Christ died for you, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Look, if you would, in verse number 4 again of chapter 6. We're buried with him by baptism into death. When Satan comes to me, I'm trying to help you get victory. And he says, Dale Freeman, I want you to do thus and thus. What am I going to do? What are you going to do? When he comes to you and he calls your name and he says, I want you to do my deeds, you tell him, I'm not your servant anymore. I'm not your servant anymore. Neither, now listen to it, look at it here. Look at verse number 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. These hands are not yours anymore. They're not even mine anymore. I died. How? In a watery tomb. I got baptized. You listening? That's a picture of identifying with Christ. I died with him. That's what verse 4 is saying. I died with him. In what? In baptism. Look at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Satan, didn't you attend my funeral? Didn't you come to my baptism? Didn't you see me buried in the likeness of his death? You were the only one mourning. Everybody else was rejoicing. That boy got saved, amen. And he's being baptized because he's identifying with his new master. Remember when you were there and I died to me because I was raising to walk in newness of life? The new Dale Freeman now. I answer to a new master. These hands no longer do your deeds. This tongue no longer speaks your words. These feet no longer go where you would have me to go. I'm dead. That Dale Freeman is dead. But I'm alive in Christ. Paul said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm talking to you this morning about victory, brethren. Victory. It's real. It's real. But now you got to claim it. You've got to claim that victory. See, the devil will try to have you to think, no, you're still mine. Or you're half mine and half Christ. Oh, no. I'm all his. And if you're saved, you are too. Amen. And so I want to give you some words here. Number one, I hope you'll write it down. Dethrone. You've got to take somebody off the throne. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign. Let's stop right there. Sin's on the throne. Whoever's on the throne's reigning. Amen. And what's the Apostle Paul saying here now? He said, sin no longer has to reign in your life. You have a choice. Look at the wording now. Let not. That means you have a choice. That means I have a choice. Let not. He said it again. Look down at verse number 19. He said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants unto uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, he said, even now yield. See, there's choice here. And so you've got to dethrone self, sin, Satan. You've got to realize your position in Christ. Oh, I pray to God that we could take hold of this morning. Brethren, this is not just ink on paper. These are biblical principles for our claiming. When's the last time you said, God, I'm yours? I'm yours. See, some folks have never done that in their life. I read a very interesting story this past week of F.B. Meyer. Now, F.B. Meyer is an author that I read after, and I would recommend you read after him. F.B. Meyer, okay? F.B. Meyer met C.T. Studd at a convention where there was a group of about seven men that were going to China. And C.T. Studd so impressed F.B. Meyer that he asked him after this meeting, he went to him and he began to talk with him and he said, there's something about you. And he said, I just can't figure it. And he said, but I know this, I want what you have. And C.T. Studd looked him right in the face and said, does God have all of you? And F.B. Meyer said that he answered, yes. He said, but just as soon before the yes quit echoing in the room, the Spirit of God said, no. And he couldn't get it off of his mind. And so he went home and he began to pray. And he said, God, he said, I want to get this settled. Do you have all of me or not? And God said, Meyer, turn over the keys. Give them all over. And he said in his mind he could see himself handing keys. And then he said, there it is. And then he said, I still don't feel the peace. Only to hear a voice say, you've left one out. And then he said that he broke down. And that part of his life that he was unyielding, unwilling to give to God, came to his mind, and he gave it all to God that night, and he said, my life was never the same. He said, doesn't mean that I didn't sin, doesn't mean that I didn't lose some battles, but he said, my life was never the same. Can I tell you, in just a few months, we'll probably be over in Romans chapter 12, maybe before that, and we'll see exactly what Paul was saying right here. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. This is how important it is. Paul said, I'm begging you. I'm beseeching you. I'm begging you that you present. That word present means yield. It's the exact word right here. Have you ever done that? Have you ever come to an altar, knelt by your bed, knelt by your place of prayer, your place of study, and said, God, you have all of me. I've been holding back. God, I want to obey you. I want to serve you. I am yours. Take me as I am. You see, you've got to dethrone before you can enthrone. And so here's what Paul's saying. He said in verse number 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. If you are on the throne of your heart, you're going to obey your lust. When sin comes about, you're going to obey that. When Satan says do it, that's what you're going to do. We're getting ready to look at the principle here in just a moment. And so you have to determine who you are going to serve. Is it going to be Jesus or Satan? Jesus or you? It can't be and. I'm going to serve Jesus and me. No, Jesus is either Lord of all or he is not Lord at all. Right, brethren? See, we've got this thing mixed up. We really believe that Jesus will play second fiddle, and I'm using that, I pray to God, I don't mean to sound sacrilegious now, but somehow we've got this thing in our mind that Jesus will take second place. No, he will not. No, he will not. And so if you think, well, now I'm just going to give some of it to God, and I'm going to keep some of it for myself and live the way I want to, and I'm still going to have victory, you're mistaken. You're mistaken. And so I ask the question, does Jesus have it all? Have you taken self off the throne of your heart? Say, preacher, I'm just trying to live the American dream. It's a nightmare. If you haven't seen that by now, you're not paying close attention. He said in verse number 12, let not, don't do it. You have a choice. Choose wisely. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Look at verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. When the devil comes to you and he says he wants you to say this, say, you don't control my tongue anymore. I have a new master. When he asks you to do things with your hands or go places with your feet, or to think things with your brain, say, no, you don't control this anymore. I have a new master. You say, preacher, can that be? Well, I don't know. Let's see what he says here. He said in verse number 13, but yield yourself. See, here's the choices. You've got to yield. Look at it again. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. So you've got to yield your instruments. You have to. The question is, who are you going to yield them to? What are you going to yield yourself to? We're just made that way. Amen? We don't like to think that. We say, well, you know what? I want to come somewhere in between there, preacher. It's not going to happen, brethren. Listen to me. You're either for God or you're against him. You're either serving God or you're not. And if you're not serving God, you're either serving yourself or Satan, probably both. Is that right, brethren? According to this book, you better believe it is. And so what are we being told here? We're being told you get to choose. But now you can't make the right choice without God's help. So I want you to follow what we're going to talk about here. See, the same hands, now listen to me. You can find this in 2 Samuel chapter 12. I was thinking about it this morning sitting at the desk, and God just brought this to my mind. The same hands that touched that woman that he should not have touched, touched a harp and made beautiful music with it. The same hands that wrote that letter to Joab, are you listening? About Uriah, that caused his death by sending him to the forefront of the hottest battle and leaving. The same hands are the hands that picked up the stones and put in the sling and slay the giant. It's a choice. You're either yielding to righteousness or unrighteousness. The same hands, listen now, that took the rod and smote the waters and they turned to blood, are the same ones that took the rod and smote the rock twice and brought a curse that he couldn't see the promised land. The same tongue that said, I don't know him, and cursed and swore an oath, was the same one that stood up in the synagogue in Acts chapter 4 and said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. See, you get to choose. I get to choose. You say, well, God can't make me. Satan can't either. Quit using that. Well, you can't make me serve God. And Satan can't make you not. You get to choose. We need to get this straight in our Baptist churches, brethren. We've got this thing to where we're just kind of innocent standbyer and we can't control. No, let not sin. Sounds like that man has a choice. Amen. Let not sin, therefore, reign. Now, it didn't say let not sin be present. You don't have a choice about that. You're an old sinner. You have a sinful nature. But sin doesn't have to reign. You don't have to answer to it. In your mortal body, neither, he said, should you obey it in the lust thereof. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Remember now, you resurrected with Christ. You have resurrection power. Amen. You can accomplish some things in your life. That's what he said in verse 13. You died with Christ, but you resurrected with him too. And what's that going to bring about? Look at the last part of verse number 4. You're going to walk in newness of life. That's right. So, well, I got saved, but there's not no difference. You didn't get saved. Don't kid yourself. Everybody that gets saved is different. Verse number 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Boy, this is a great verse of Scripture. You say, I'm not going to sin because I'm going to stay in the law, and the law is going to help me get victory over sin. I'm going to tell you what the law will do. The law will tell you that you have sinned. The law will tell you what is sin. Paul said, I wouldn't know not to covet. Should the law not say, thou shalt not covet? You follow me this morning? See, the law can tell you what sin is. The law can even convict you when you sin. But the law can't give you the power not to. Look at what the rest of verse number 14 says. But of grace. Amen. Amen. So you've got to get the grace of God involved. You've got to get the power of God involved in your life. I need to get that power. That working grace in our life helps us to live victorious. Now, how are we going to do that, preacher? Well, let me take some time and help you to see from the Bible how you can make Jesus the king of your heart. How can I live the victorious Christian life? Know, reckon, yield. You say, well, I'll just repeat those three words every time I'm tempted, and I'll live victorious. No, you won't. I wish you could. I wish it was that simple. What I'm speaking to you about this morning is not some magic potion, brethren. It's biblical truth. It is the power of God. I can't explain it, but I'm going to show you the principles. Let's look at them. What then? What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. God forbid. If you think because you're under grace that gives you a license to go ahead and do it because God will forgive you anyway, you don't understand grace. See, the law is harsh and brazen. Grace is something, brethren, that lets us see how much God loves us. And there's the law, but then there's love. See, the law, it just doesn't have any feeling, but love does. And I don't want to sin not because God said not to. I don't want to sin because when I do, what it does to that God who said not to. It breaks God's heart when I sin against Him. It does you too. Amen. Your sin breaks the heart of God. You say, well, I'm concerned about breaking the law of God. Well, I think we ought to be, but I'm more concerned about breaking the heart of God. Look at verse number 16. Know ye not to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? Now see, the question here, I want you to see it again. It's not, are you going to yield? It's to whom you're going to yield. I can't overemphasize this. Who are you going to yield to? Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Jesus said this. He said, your servants to who, if you commit sin, whoso committeth sin is the servant of that sin. See, the devil will tell you, I just do it this one time. Right? How many people do you know that when you're ministering to them, they say, preacher, I've had them tell me over and over again, I just thought I was going to do it one time. And about the 100th or 200th time, they say, I hate myself. If I could go back 1,000 times, I would have never done that. Did you know it's because the Bible says, turn there, John chapter 8. I want you to turn there. Hold your place here. We're coming back. Look at John chapter number 8. Let's see what Jesus said. In John chapter number 8, Jesus said that when you yield yourself, when I yield myself to commit sin, and that means continual action, in John chapter 8, look if you would in verse number 34. I'm in John chapter 8. I want you to see this now. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You see that word committeth? It means when you commit, it's going to be a continuous action. You know what the devil will tell you? Just do it this one time. Just this one time. Just to, you know, just kind of scratch the itch. Right? Yeah. Just this one time. Nobody will know. It'll be one time. And then you've crossed the line. Gotcha. Now you're a servant to it. How many people have I met in my life? Right here. He said in verse number 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Look at verse 36. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You don't have to scratch that itch. You don't have to do it. You can say no to it because now you're saved. You say, who's he talking to, preacher? Is that for everybody? No. No, he's not talking to everybody. I want you to go back to Romans 6 now, and I'm going to give you some things. I hope you'll write them down. I hope you'll write these things down. Number one, I want you to look at verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. All right? So what's he saying? He's saying, now that you have been saved, you have been delivered, and now that you have been delivered, if you will obey the word of God, if you will obey the doctrine, doctrine and duty go together. Doctrine and deliverance go together, but you've got to obey. I want to ask you a question. When you hear a principle, when you hear a truth from the Word of God, is your immediate reaction, I'm going to do that, or I'm going to think about that, make sure that, you know, it kind of fits in my lifestyle, and just going to see how little of that I can do and still get away with it? Because if that's the way you live your life, please listen to me. I'm trying to help you this morning. I cannot make you do right, but I want to help you this morning. If you think that you can pick and choose what of God's commandments you want to do, and have victory, the devil has deceived you. You have to obey the Word of God. If you do not obey the truth of God's Word, when He speaks to your heart about a matter, you're not going to have victory. Victory comes through obedience. So that's the first thing. Okay? Are you obedient to the Word of God? Do you obey? Now, what's that called? Let me give you another way of saying what James said. James said in James chapter 4, verse number 7, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. So you come up against this situation, and you look at this situation, and you're tempted to do something, and you look on this side and say, well, God says this, but now I think this, or the world says this, or Satan says this. What am I going to do? I'm going to do what God said do. You're going to have victory. But if you don't, you're not going to have victory. You say, that's simple, preacher. It's so simple that very, very few people are doing it. That's how simple it is. It's simple to talk about it. But how is it working in your life? Right? Let me give you an example. So there's an advertisement coming on the television, and it says, boy, you'll really want to watch this. It's got sex and profanity and violence, but it's funny. And your flesh says, you know what? You need a good laugh. What's a little entertainment going to hurt, right? I mean, it's just a few curse words. It's just a few adult innuendos and sexual connotation. But God says, what? Don't look on things that are evil. Don't let these things get in your mind. Don't let these things get in your heart. And you say, but it's not going to affect me. That's because you're listening to the wrong voice. And so we do it anyway, and what happens? We lose a part of victory. And we wonder why. Brethren, I'm just being real with you. So you're just trying to keep me from doing this and doing that. I can't keep you from doing anything. But I am going to tell you the truth, and now you have a choice. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Neither yield ye your instruments or your body or instruments as instruments of sin unto the devil. Right? And so the Bible, you're going to go somewhere and you have a choice to make. What am I going to do? Well, if I go here, I'm going to be sitting around in a smoke-filled room with people drinking and flirtatious and in a bad environment that's not conducive to Christian living. Or I'm going to hang around with a group of people that don't love my Jesus and don't love the Christian way and have no regard for the truth of the Bible. Or I could put myself in a good environment where there's people who do love Jesus and who do love the Word of God and who care about Christian conviction, but I'm going to choose them and then wonder why I yielded to temptation. I'll tell you why. You're in bad company. Evil communication corrupts good manners. 1 Corinthians 15. You listening? See, most of the time it's not that we don't know what to do. It's just we're not willing to do it. I had a man, a friend, and I appreciate this. He gave me a knife before the service, and I said, man, this is good timing. I think I'm going to need it after the service today. If you think that I tell you that because I don't like you, or because I'm your enemy, I thought you knew me. I tell you the truth because I love you. And I don't want the devil to defeat your life. I face the same temptation you face. If I were to take this newly blade of steel and cut each one of us, we would all bleed the same, brethren. We're all flesh and blood. And don't you let the devil tell you now you have a unique set of circumstances. Your temptation is such as common unto man. But now God is faithful, and He will make a way of escape if you want to escape. But now you got to want it. Amen? You got to want it. I want victory, preacher. See, I'm talking to those this morning that they say, I want victory. I don't want to be just a nominal Christian. Please listen to me now. I don't want to be just an average Joe. I don't want to just play the church thing and go through the activity and run through the cycle. I want something real. I want some victory. I want to have a real relationship and communion with God and power with God. I want to have influence on other people's lives. I want this thing to matter for the kingdom of God. But now, if you just want to go through the motions and experience a little bit here and there. Listen, been there, done that. I'm not standing up here trying to act like I'm something I'm not. I'm just presenting truth to you, telling you that we all have a choice. And we can blame it on 2022, 2023. We can blame it on a telephone, a television, a computer, a neighbor, a friend, a parent, a preacher, a church, anything you want to. But when it all comes down, the understood subject in verse number 12 is you. Amen. You let not sin reign in your mortal body. Your dad can't make it. Your friend won't make it. Your preacher, if you don't want sin, don't you let it reign in your mortal body. But you yield. You know what's right. I know what's right. We have the Holy Ghost living in us. And so we need to yield. Well, let me move down through this and I'll close so we can have baptism. So what am I going to do? Number one, obey. Obey. That form of doctrine. Get in the Word so you can know what the book says. I'm thinking of Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. Oh, listen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Right? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. God, I don't want to sin against you. I don't want sin to reign in my mortal body. I want to serve God. I want to do what's right. I want to serve, as Paul said here in the last part of verse number 18. Look at verse 18, the whole verse. He said, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve sin and righteousness. It just cannot be done. You'll either serve one or the other, brethren. I will too. We've got to understand this. And so he said, obedience. And then that comes from taking heed. He said, you know, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How are you going to live victorious? By taking heed to the word of God. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Listen, it's got to be a desire of your heart. A desire. You've got to want it. I'm convinced in my heart, the longer I minister to people, the more I pastor, most people don't have victory simply because they do not want it. Because right after submit in James chapter 4, is the next verb there is resist. Principle number two. How do you resist the devil? He said, I'll show you how. I'll kick his hind end up and down the aisles of this church, preacher. Yeah, I know you will. How's that working for you? He'll make mincemeat of me and you. But when we submit to God, the submission comes to His Word. Listen to me now. And when Jesus was here not to do His will, but the Father's will, you know what He used to resist the devil? It is written. Yeah. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You doing that? You're meditating on the Word day and night now. Say, I want to be prosperous in this thing, preacher. I want to be successful in this thing. Well, Joshua 1:8 says you can be. But now you got to get in the Word. Amen. You can't take your Bible. I can't take my Bible home and sit it down and expect to have victory. You listening? You're not going to have victory without picking up the book, brethren. Again, just trying to help us here. So I want victory. We'll get in the Word. So, well, I'm going to read 10 minutes a day. You don't want much victory. You're not wanting it bad. You see what I'm saying? And so I just pray to God, number one, submit, yield. Yield. Number two, God, here I am. Amen. You don't go to God this way. I found out this is the way to go to God. I'm your servant. Amen. Not this way. This way. I'm your servant. That's right. I'm your servant. You're my new master. I want to do your bidding. Number two, hide God's word in your heart. Hide God's word in your heart. Resist the devil. Listen, what if somebody were trying to drag you off? You're in a parking lot. Everything happens at Walmart. So you're in the parking lot of Walmart, of bad people. You're in the parking lot of Walmart, and somebody comes to try to drag you off. You're going to go, no, don't do that. I said, stop it. Get away. You think that's going to be your resistance? Can I tell you the way a lot of people try to resist? I don't want to watch this. I'm not going to. I won't watch you. Resistance is a fight. Hey, get away. Hey, get away. I said, get away. Amen. Then break out some kung fu-y on them. Amen. I mean, you say, what's kung fu-y? For the old timers, you know what kung fu-y is. Bring out the old karate chop. Amen. Right? Yeah. You can't do, no, stop it. Don't do that. Don't make me have to tell you again. I'm not going to watch this. Come on. Resist. Resist. Somebody trying to get you to do something you don't want to do, you're going to resist. But now if you want to do it, I'm told you once now, I don't want to do this. See, that word resist is not what we're making it out to be. So let me run down through these. I'm going to close. Number one, the scripture. All right, obey them. Memorize them. Meditate on them. Use them to resist. Use them against the devil. What does the devil do when you resist him with the word of God? Somebody tell me now. He flees from you. He left Jesus. Now, it was just for a season, but I'll take anything I can get. Amen. I mean, right? If he'll leave me for a season, I want him gone. And then finally, the scripture says, and I don't have time to go into this. I wish I did. Verse number 20 says, for when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then, in verse 21, of those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what is Jesus saying here? What is the word of God saying? It's saying this. When you made a choice to serve sin, it had some fruit. How'd that work for you? Did you see the word he used there? He said, you're ashamed of that now, aren't you? What makes you think that you're going to be anything less when you yield to it again? Sin always brings shame, brethren. Don't let the devil listen. You say, but preacher, it just feels so good. But there's shame to follow. But it just satisfies a niche. But it brings guilt. You see what he's saying? There's fruit from that. I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you and tell you, oh, there's no fun in sin. That's why everybody's doing it. But now there's consequences too. Amen. There's fruit for that. And the fruit is shame. You bring shame and disgrace. Isn't that what he said, brethren? Shame and disgrace. Guilt. And eventually death. But now when you yield to God, it's going to bring forth the fruit of, what did it say? Holiness. You know what comes with holiness? What the book of Hebrews say? Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Well, you'll get to see God do some things in your life when you begin to reap the fruit of holiness. Your life will bring purpose. So what am I going to do? Let's stand to our feet. Those who are going to be baptized, you can go ahead and present yourselves for baptism. So what am I going to do, preacher? Well, number one, I want to encourage you, get in the book. Read your Bible. Okay, so well, I have a hard time reading my Bible consistently. Mean business about it. If you have to, set your clock. Right? Build a schedule around your Bible reading. It is really, really important. Number two, meditate on it. Don't just read it and run. Right? Write you some scripture down on cards and meditate on it through the day, whether it be as you're driving down the road. Now listen, don't meditate too much as you're driving down the road, but whether you're driving down the road, let that word get in your mind and then let it get down in your heart so that you can obey from your heart that form of doctrine that was given unto you. All right? Meditate, memorize on the Word of God, and then obey it. When God tells you something to do, do it. When God says don't do it, don't do it. It's not hard, brethren, to understand. It's a little more difficult to put into practice, but we get to choose. Memorize, meditate, hide it in your heart, read it, obey it. Don't just know what it says, do what it says. Do what God says to do. I could just name thing after thing after thing that I'm seeing in our churches today where people know better. They know better. People know, listen, we're Christians. We know we ought to tell other people about Jesus. Did you do it last week? So you're not doing, if you're not telling people about Jesus, you're not doing what God said do. You're not going to have victory when you're not doing what God said do. And when you're doing things that God said not to do, you're not going to have victory. Obedience. Obedience. All right? Let's bow our heads together.